all of you here and everyone watching online. We'll be praying in a little while for those who are unable to be with us this morning. Update on Bruce, that he's feeling better than he was, but gets very tired and becomes disorientated. So he's also experiencing a lot of pain in his leg. And so we will definitely be praying for him later. Sorry, the music stand collapsed. Yeah, we'll be praying for Bruce in a little while. The legs, meaning he can't walk very far. But he is hoping and praying, and we will too, that he'll be back for Good Friday and Easter Sunday. So that will be good. Just a reminder of the Philippa Hannah concert on Good Friday, or also two concerts on the Saturday at Christchurch, Paignton. And tickets are available online if anyone wants to go to that. It's £5 a ticket. And it will be a good witness, I'm sure, to bring people to, which is great. And just a prior notice, on Easter Sunday, the churches are coming together for baptisms. Usually Mary Magdalene Church does their baptisms on Easter Sunday, but they've joined with other churches. So that'll be a great afternoon, usually about one-ish, with lots of people on the beach witnessing, and it's going to be amazing. So, yes, thank you. Tor Abbey Sands, I guess you call it. Tor Abbey Sands, yeah. Brilliant. So, our service today is going to be in two parts. We're wanting to acknowledge, along with the church worldwide, that today we are particularly remembering Jesus humbly approaching the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. Not on a horse, ridden normally by kings, but a donkey, showing himself as the servant king. And this is the beginning, of course, of the week leading up to Jesus' journey of sacrifice for us on the cross on Good Friday, and to his awesome resurrection on Sunday. But thankfully, we can celebrate Easter every day, but it's a wonderful opportunity to witness out there to those who don't know Jesus. We'll also be continuing with Bruce's series of talks, and we'll today be looking at unlimited forgiveness. So let's have a time of prayer to our wonderful and almighty God. Oh Lord, so good to be here again. So good to be able to worship you this morning. And Lord, I'm so thankful, and I'm sure that we all are, that we can celebrate every day what you've done for us. So as we think of Palm Sunday this morning, we can shout our hosannas, knowing that we are saved. So thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we want to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we're going to begin with Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna,
On the way here to read part of the reading this morning, because my voice, you know, you're going to hear too much of me otherwise. So, oh, bless. So, I don't know if you can see this though, Richard. No, don't worry, I'll do it. Okay, so Luke 9, it's not in there. Don't worry, it's fine. So, yeah, to 38, yeah. Yes, there was a bit more. It's okay, it's fine. Sorry. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" So there was just a little bit more. So when Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words. So he continues preaching, teaching in the temple. And of course, this is the week leading up to Good Friday. So we're going to sing All Hail King Jesus. All Hail Emmanuel, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So I'll just pray, and as always, if anyone else would like to pray anything else, or and particularly for those in our fellowship who are unwell right now. So we sing, All Hail King Jesus, All Hail Emmanuel. And we thank you that we can sing that every day. at the time they were singing out, Hosanna in the highest, they didn't really understand about the cross, and certainly not the resurrection and what was going to happen at the end of that week. But thank you that as your children, we can pray that every day of the week. We can give you thanks and praise for all that you've done in our lives. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. Thank you for our forgiveness. Thank you for the power of the resurrection, our new life, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Father, there's a few of us in a congregation here that aren't well. I don't want to forget anybody, Lord, but I do pray for Bruce in Venus, and you know the problems there. Ask you to put your healing hand upon Bruce. And you give you the strength to cope, Lord. And remembering Stuart and Jean as well. Remembering John. There is a lot of people. Lord, and Sarah too.
Yes.
Pray for Brian, Stuart, and Alan. To bring her to you. And it's so good to hear, even that she's feeling or seems to be a fraction better than last twice that Brian has seen her. And I do pray for her. Give her your peace in her mind, Lord. Pray for Deborah and
yes, Lord.
For Graham and for everybody. Put your healing hand upon us. Thank you so much for what Jesus has done for us, dying for us on Calvary. Thank you once again. Please, Lord, I pray that you'll continue working in our families to those who don't know you. I pray for my grandchildren, Lord, the ones that don't know you. You know the situation. Just pray that you will open up their hearts and minds to you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we know that it is Bruce's desire and Eunice too to be here on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. This is just such a wonderfully special time of the year. And we do pray that they will be able to be with us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Very tired, very restless. As I say, she's finding it a struggle. Lord, could you please try and take the pain away? Mm-hmm. It's not a pain that I would understand, but it's a pain I know she goes through. It's nothing I really understand, fibromyalgia, but it is a condition, and people do suffer. Mm-hmm. Big Bruce would know what I'm talking about because he suffers with it too. And I'd just like you to take that pain away from both of them. Mm-hmm. Make them strong. Make them feel that your healing hand is upon them. And Lord, give me the strength to be there for Dee and try and help her through this. Oh, I ask this prayer in Jesus' name and continue to pray for Dad and Mum and the rest of the congregation here, and that Dad and Mum will be back soon, and Sarah and Sarah Jane and all the others we know that love to come and worship and listen to your word. So, having said all that, Lord, I also try to pray for myself. Sometimes I don't find it easy, Lord, but in your strength, I do continue to try and be the person you want me to be. And I ask this and all our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to now sing Ride On in Majesty.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us all from sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives.
Amen. So we're going to sing The Power of the Cross.
Oh, big name. Sin for us took the blame. For the wrong we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name.
That is such a beautiful song, so much so we're going to sing it on Good Friday as well. Right, sorry, I might need this for a minute. Are you ready with Andrew? So, so this morning we're looking at unlimited forgiveness, and we have a speaker from Dallas by way of the internet with us this morning. His name is Andrew Farley, and for 15 years was a professor in applied linguistics. But don't let that put you off. His delivery is very down to earth. Robert, Richard and I have listened to his teaching for many years now and have always found him to be a sound Bible teacher. He's going to be sharing the verses that have just been read by Rita from 1 John 1, 5 to 10. So the talk will just be 10 minutes on verses 5 to 10. The complete talk is 30 minutes, and I would encourage you to... Sorry, lost my place. to listen to it another time in its entirety. By way of a brief introduction, 1 John 1, as you probably know, is written by John, Jesus' disciple. And although believers are present, John at this time is addressing the Gnostics. The Gnostics were around towards the end of the first century AD, when John is thought to be about 80-ish. The Gnostics, in brief, believed that they had spiritual knowledge or insight into the divine nature. They believed that all physical matter was evil and that therefore Jesus couldn't be physical but was a phantom spirit. They didn't believe in sin as a reality, so that anything done in the body didn't matter. As Andrew will talk about, they were sin deniers. Therefore, John spends the first few verses of 1 John affirming that Jesus was born of flesh. As we know, we celebrate Christmas every year as he came into the world as flesh. And that John and many others have seen him and touched him and been with him. So they fully know that he is both physical and divine. So Richard's going to put the talk on. I don't know if... Can it go around slightly? I don't know. You don't need to see him, but there is a picture.
All right, verse 5. He says, this is the message that we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Or you might think this is trivial, I mean, who says there's darkness in God? I mean, why even bring this up, John? Whoever said that there's darkness in God? Well, here's where he's going. There's two teams, Team Light and Team Darkness, Team God and Team Satan, Team Believer and Team Unbeliever. And he's about to contrast light and darkness. Never the two will meet. That's really important as we keep on reading, because he's going to talk about unbelievers who are walking around in the darkness. They're walking, but they're in darkness. And then he's going to talk about believers who are walking around. They're in the light. No, they don't perform perfectly, but they're in the light. And there's no darkness in there. They're in the light. They're in Christ. All right. With that in mind, watch him contrast two kinds of humans in the next few verses. Now, again, this is really important. He's not contrasting two kinds of Christians. He's contrasting two kinds of humans. And that's his whole point, to differentiate the deceivers from the believers. Here we go. Verse 6. If we, any one of us, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Alright, so what is this person? Well, apparently this person's claiming to have fellowship with God, but they don't really. They're in the darkness. They're a deceiver. They're deceiving themselves. They're not practicing the truth. And they're really confusing other people, because they're saying stuff like this. I've got fellowship with God. Let me tell you, let me shed some light on the true gospel. Sin, what sin? There's no such thing as sin. Let me tell you about the true gospel. See, you can do whatever you want in the flesh. It doesn't matter, because we're up here. We're Gnostics. We got the secret knowledge. We're operating in the spirit. So none of our decisions matter. Sin is not a problem. So you see in context that there are people who are claiming to have fellowship with God, but they are actually still dead, still in darkness, still in Adam, and they are denying the physicality of Christ, and they are denying the reality of sin. All right, now let's look at the other group, because that's your team. That's the group you're in. That's the family you're a part of. Ready? Here we go in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, what is true about us? We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from how much? All sin. All right, now I'm going to ask you, is this about trying to get fellowship with God every day? No, who's the fellowship with in verse 7? Who's the fellowship with in verse 7? It's with each other. Because if you're in Christ, then you're connected. You're connected to the body. We're part of each other. I belong to you. You belong to me. We belong to each other. That's the body of Christ. So, get this. If somebody is taking this passage and making it about a Christian who's in fellowship on Monday, but then they think a dirty thought and they're out of fellowship at 2:30 in the afternoon, then they got to do some confessing and repenting and asking, and then they get back in fellowship by 3:30. That's pretty good. That's only an hour of being out. And now they're back in. But wait a minute. 24 minutes later, they think a jealous thought, and they entertain it. So they're out of fellowship again. What do they got to do? Well, they got 1 John 1:9. They got to confess and ask, and then they get back in. See, that is the most popular interpretation of this passage, and it's dead wrong. I'll tell you right now, it's dead wrong, because, number one, if that were true, where is this formula in any letter in the New Testament? The Galatians didn't know the formula. The Romans didn't get the memo. The Ephesians didn't hear about it. I guess everybody was just out of fellowship because they didn't get the notice. Or the simpler understanding is that in context, he is saying that there is a group of people who are called Christians, and we are in the light, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, and we have fellowship with each other. We're not trying to get it. We've got it. And it's with each other, not God. That's true too. We have fellowship with God, But I'm saying verse 7 is just a proclamation. It's an announcement that we are connected to each other. So, bouncing in and out, the in and out burger type theology, don't eat it. Because you're in. You're in. You're in Christ. You're in fellowship. And here's a zinger. If you're going to choose to sin, you'll have to sin while you're in fellowship with God. You mean he doesn't leave? No, he said, I'll never leave. You mean he doesn't forsake? No, he said, I'll never forsake. You mean I'm still in? Yeah, he said, nobody can snatch you out. So sin takes on a whole new look, doesn't it? Now you're taking Jesus with you. Now you're taking Jesus with you. He doesn't say, oh, you go over there and get your stuff together, and I'll be over here. And when you're done cleaning yourself up, cleaning your life up, then you know what? I'll join you again for some fellowship. That's what people are saying, essentially. Oh, you didn't lose your salvation, but you just fell out of fellowship. Oh, great. How do I get back in? 1 John 1:9. Well, what about all the sins I forgot about? I don't know. Well, you know, maybe, here's one. Maybe he forgets if you forget. Yeah, if you forgot about some sins, don't worry. He doesn't worry about those. Oh, so amnesia is the solution. I could just load up on Benadryl and have total amnesia. And then all my sins, if I forget, he forgets. You see, it's nonsense. Either Jesus took away your sins once for all, or Jesus took away your sins once for all. It's true. It's real. It's powerful. Do you see we're bragging on Christ? We're bragging on Jesus. He'll never die again because it worked the first time. We're bragging on Christ. In fact, John even goes there. We'll see in a moment. John says, we've been forgiven, past tense, on account of his name. This is about his name. Folks, do you hear the passion? I know you hear me speaking in a firm manner because I'm convinced. But I am also speaking from the simple truth that the blood of Christ is better than the blood of animals. And if they only went once a year to get more forgiveness, why are we going once an hour? The blood of Jesus is more powerful than the blood of bulls and goats. They had the Day of Atonement. We have the once for all. Jesus is greater, a greater high priest, a better covenant founded on better promises, a forgiveness that is once for all. All right, verse 8, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Whoa, this sounds really familiar. He says something almost identical in verse 6 about people who are deceiving themselves, about people who don't have a clue about the truth, about people who are practicing a lie. Now he's talking again about them. If we, any one of us, say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Who's the truth? Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know where that's recorded? In John's Gospel. Jesus is the truth. Is Jesus in you? If Jesus is in you, then this verse is not about you. You're reading someone else's mail. And I feel weak. But you're reading someone else's mail. So we got to call a spade a spade. He's talking to people who are saying, sin, what sin? I have no sin. Sin, what sin? I've never sinned. And the truth is not in them. That is an unbeliever. What is the first step to becoming a Christian? Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner. These people won't say that. They're saying they have no sin. The unbelieving sin denier. All right, so what's the solution, John? You've presented the problem. What's the solution? Well, here it is. The infamous 1 John 1:9, which is a beautiful verse. It's evangelistic. Look, if we've been saying we have no sin, what's the solution? Confess our sins. Admit it. Admit our sinful state. Confess our sins. And then what will he do? He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not Tuesday at 2:30's unrighteousness. Not Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Not Friday night's unrighteousness. All confess that you do have sin. Stop saying you have no sin. And Jesus will enter your life. He will indwell you, seal you with His Spirit, causing you to be born again, and He will cleanse you of all. Hebrews 10:14, by one sacrifice, we've been made perfect for all time. Whoa. And guess what? Same author, same letter. We're going to see that total forgiveness as we close today from the same author and the same letter. He's going to talk to the believer, my little children, and He's going to say, your sins have been forgiven. Not might, not could, not if you remember them all, have been forgiven.
Amen. Isn't that a relief? To know we're forgiven past, present, and future. So, but I do encourage you to listen to the whole talk. Bruce has kindly put a link in the booklet so you can find it if you want to listen to it at home, because you get the fuller story, the beginning and the end of one and two. So we're going to now move on to sing And Can It Be? And of course, with Good Friday coming up on Friday, we'll go even more in depth into the cross. And let's hope and pray that Bruce is here to bring that message. There's two on the end.
Yeah, it's the yellow one. Never mind.
It's on the back.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yes, thank you.
Oh.
Should gain an interest.
So no condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Amen. Unlimited forgiveness forever and ever. So we're going to sing make way for Christ the King in splendor arise. So we're singing this as forgiven children, and because it's Palm Sunday, and for all the reasons these beautiful words are saying. Jesus, thank you for bringing this family here together today. And Lord, your word says, as we lay hands on each other, that you will bring your healing. Your word says that by your stripes we are healed. And Lord Jesus, we want to see a miraculous healing in both Bruce and Deborah. Lord, they both want to be out there for you and singing your praises and speaking your praises, Lord, and witnessing to you. Lord, would you bring them full health from the top of their heads to the tip of their toes. Thank you, Jesus. Bring them peace and be free of pain. Thank you, Jesus. In your precious name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus.
Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah.